Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Calder. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are excited. Changing time a little bit today, but we are back here. I had to take my granddaughter to work. We are back here now, and we are going to do a couple worship songs, and then we're going to come in and teach on working for the Lord. That's going to be our teaching today, working for the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you know that we have to work for the Lord? This is what we are called to do in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we talked about yesterday, the day before, serving God by serving his people. But when you're working for the Lord, work for his people. You got to show the people, allow the people to see God's working through you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this morning. Thank you for waking us up and blessing us with the gift of life, O God. God, we thank you for all that's going on even right now. Because we know that you are in everything that goes on. Nothing happened without you, O God. Father, we ask for your anointing. We ask for your leading. We ask for your power to be in our mix, O God. Your spirit, O God, that you would have your way in us and through us, O God. Speak, Holy Spirit, for your servants listen. Your spirit hears you today. Father, allow us to speak what thus says the Lord, and nothing less, O God. But Father, allow us to deliver this word today that will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you.
let's focus on the beauty of the Lord. That's what the songwriter says. Let's focus on his beauty. Let's give him praise. That's what he's saying. Let's give him honor because he's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy to receive glory and honor. Yes, Lord. The Lord is worthy to receive glory and honor. And we are so excited that he allowed us to be here today in the land of the living. Here, Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning and blessing us with the gift of life. We ask you, God, to speak to us and speak through us, O God. God, use us as your peace here in this earthly realm and allow us, O God, to declare and decree what thus says the Lord. Father, we surrender right now to your will and to your way. We decrease that you might increase. Have your way, Holy Spirit, in our midst. Speak to your people through your servant in the mighty name of Jesus. Today, we're talking about working for the Lord. Other words, the subtitle is Mighty Men and Women of God. Working for the Lord, working for the Lord, and the subtopic, Mighty Men and Women of God. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 38, the Bible says, these men came in battle array to Hebron with the single purpose of making David the king over all Israel. In fact, everyone in Israel agreed that David should be their king. They feasted and drank with David for 3 days for preparation had been made by their relatives for their arrival. And people from as far away as Issachar, Zebulun, Naphtali brought food on donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen, vast supplies of flour, fig cakes, clusters of raisins, wine, olive oil, cattle, and goats were brought to the celebration. There was great joy throughout the land of Egypt. There was great joy throughout the land of Israel. Glory to God. See, the people was so in love with David, but because David fought for the people, God used him to cover the people. David was a man of war. He could sling his sling. He could shoot the arrow. He could throw a javelin. David was a master warrior. So we see that there were so many people, I mean, thousands upon thousands of people that came to be at David's side. You know, he had to be a great man of God. He had to be a great man. We're talking about working for the Lord, and the subtitle is Men and Women of God. So David had to be a great man because there was thousands upon thousands. I mean, not just 6,000 or 3,000 or 4,000. I mean, hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of people. They said one warrior, one area had 68,000 people, 6,800 people. Another place had 7,100 people. Another one is 4,600. Another one 3,500. Another one 22 members. Another one 3,000. Another 20,000. Another one 18,000. Another one 200. Another one 50,000. All of these people came from everywhere. 37,000, 1,000, 28,000, 40,000. All of these people came from far away to make sure that David became king over Israel. And they didn't come empty-handed. They brought him so much stuff. people baked cakes and had wine and had olive oil and had raisins and flour and all type of stuff they brought, that the king's celebration would be great. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And you can read the names because there's so many names. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, but the verse we pulled up is from 38 to 40. Let's jump up to verse 32. It says, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with the relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. Look at what's going on in our country. We have leaders that don't know the signs of the times. They, in matter of fact, they are trying to destroy our nation. And the people are so captivated that they don't see what's happening. I sent out a post last night. I doubt there's three people that look at the post. And the post is saying, the man was saying, and the woman was saying, she's an author, wrote a lot of books, and she's an economist. She worked with figures, numbers. And she said that within the next 2 to 3 months, she said, matter of fact, by February next year, that America going to be such a catastrophe that people going to begin to cry, people going to begin to weep, because they didn't realize that it was going to become so bad. But most people don't recognize, even the preachers in God's house don't understand the times. They have plenty of money. I'm talking about the highfalutin preacher, not the preacher that just got 30 members or 20 members or something like that. But these that have enough members to have 3-4 services, they don't care because they have plenty of money in the bank already. They're going to digital dollar. As a matter of fact, they say that we're going to have to get a digital mark. It's going to be in your blood. You hear what I'm saying? It's going to be in your blood. I had to put this on here because people must understand what's going on. A lot of Christians are sleeping. A lot of them are sleeping. They don't know what's going on. This AI and all this stuff that's happening. They don't understand what's going on. They showed last night how this thing going to be in your blood. And when you come to the stuff, it's going to come down to the blood, to the index finger. And this schematic is going to come out, going to be in your blood. And it's going to show on the index finger on the first joint. And you can put that finger on anything, and the computer going to recognize who you are. You understand what I'm saying? We are becoming robots. We are becoming robots for the government. People don't realize this. But here, let's go back in the Word. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. I've got a sermon here I wrote last night I want to put out there, but 2 days I was writing on this. But Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and I'm going to explain all of these to you as I deliver. Because I'm not going to read you too long today. But for real, I'll tell the truth. Luke 21 and 15. The Bible says, for I will give you, Jesus speaking, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. See, when you go, when he sends you out, when God called you, and when God empower you, appoint you, and assign you to ministry, he gives you what you need. Because he knows what every heart, what every soul needs. The Bible said that the Spirit searches the deep things of God, the deep things. He searches your heart to see what you need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God gives us what the people need. We may say, well, you know what? I want to preach about the weather today. I want to preach about the government. I want to preach about the ocean. God said, no, that's not what I want you to talk about. People are suffering. I want you to talk about suffering. And I want you to show them that there's a way out of suffering. God will give you what you need. Because we just don't want to just talk about suffering. We want to talk about the way that's out from your suffering, away from your addiction, away from all the stuff that you're facing in this world is Jesus. We got to tell the people this. Don't just tell them about the pain. And even though they have AI and they have all this different stuff, God is still our supplier. We got to understand that he's still going to supply for us. And he said that we're not going to be lacking anything. David says, I was young and now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. So we got to trust this. This is what he said to Luke. He says, for I, God, Jesus, I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. They can't come against you because what you're teaching and preaching is so sound. It's so on point. Folk may not like your voice. They may not like your personality, but they can't come against that word because that word is true. Listen to Acts chapter 16. The word is true, man. This word is powerful. That's why we're going to it. Acts chapter 16. You know this book. I like this too, because this is a powerful chapter right here. But here he says, Acts chapter 16, verse 7. They're coming to the borders of Mysia. They're headed north to the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Now listen, Paul is in the boat. He's in the ship. He's on his way to Macedonia. You know the story? Hallelujah. But on his way, the Holy Spirit come to him and let him know that there's going to be a storm on the horizon. There's going to be a storm out on the ocean. Hallelujah. You know, we sing that song, there's a storm on the ocean. And if you're not anchored in Jesus, you will sail away. Hallelujah. So we have to make sure that we are in Jesus, that we are in Christ Jesus. We're not saying it to sound eloquent. We're not saying it to say, well, he sounds good or she sounds good because she know the word. We're saying it because we know that we know that we know that we are anchored in Christ Jesus. I mean, you may be wondering why we are late today. Well, I had to take my granddaughter to work today. She runs a cash register at one of the cash registers at in the level over there. I think she's going to become one of the managers if she don't go into her field, because she got a degree from college in some kind of medical thing. I don't know what it got, some fancy name. So when she decides to start looking in her field, I don't know if she'll leave, but they love our target. Here, God told the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul. He says, so instead they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia to help. In other words, was asking Paul. Paul saw in a vision that the man wanted him to come over to Macedonia and preach the gospel. So we went. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. No. See, God gives you what you need. You got to understand this, that this is what God does. We're talking about working for the Lord, and the subtitle, Mighty Men and Women of God. Now, we come out of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and we started about verse 34, and we got down to the end. And then we jumped back up at verse 32. Now we went over to Luke chapter 21, verse 15. And now we over here at Acts chapter 16 and verse 17. Acts chapter 27. Let's go over there. Acts 27. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, people, man, go back. Go back and listen to that video I sent you all last night. Go back and listen to it here, because they're getting ready to take your money out the bank. Hallelujah. And this woman said that many people gonna be shocked. Cause see, when they say this happens on the way. Bill Gates, Apple, Microsoft, all of these big Coca-Cola, Pepsi, all of these big conglomerates, they're all together, coming together to control your money, our money. So what they're doing, they're moving to this digital dollar. So the feds are going to run control, not the banks, the feds are going to control everything. And they're going to know what you have and what you don't have, every cent to the penny. And if the feds want to use your money, they can take it up and use it anytime they want. You don't have no say. You don't know what's going on. Understand? So this is what's happening. Within the next 2 to 3 months, you're going to see what's happening. This is what the economist said last night. And I sent it to you all that had computer stuff that know you can use your cell phone and go in there and listen to it to yourself. It's serious stuff, man. And this Nancy Pelosi, the one who brought this thing together, she put that bill together since 2020. And they say all of a sudden the bill went away because they didn't want the people to know what it was all about. But now Biden has signed the paper. Listen. Acts 27, see what they got on paper. Verse 9 to 11. Working for the Lord. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship officer about it. Remember, we just told you in chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit had come to Paul, had revealed some things to him in the Spirit. Paul, now they go on anyway because the master of the ship, the captain, didn't believe what Paul was saying. So this kid decided to sail on to Macedonia anyway. Paul had this vision that he must go to Macedonia and preach the gospel. He saw this man in a vision, calling him to Macedonia to preach the gospel. But then the Spirit told him that what's going to happen on the waters, there's going to be a storm. He's out on the water. But if you're not anchored in Christ Jesus, you will sail away. Listen. Oh, Lord, he says, if your soul not anchored in Christ, you will sail away. He said, look, men, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship captain and the owner than to Paul. Now, and since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a south wind and a north wind exposure. See, a lot of times you're working for the Lord. You better be hearing. You better be listening. And you better be doing what that says the Lord. Don't do what you want to do because God tells us what's ahead of us. What we can't see, he makes visible to us in the Spirit. He tells us, my God, sometimes you get the word come to you from the Lord and it's like stirring in your belly. You don't have no rest. You don't have no peace until you adhere to the Spirit calling, to the Spirit leading. I don't know about you, but I know he just nudged me so hard and said, don't go. Do this. Don't do that. I mean, he just bumped me so hard. Hallelujah. I know one time I found a flight somewhere. And the Holy Spirit said, don't go. And we had to call and cancel the flight because the Spirit said, don't go. You got to be ready to do what thus says the Lord at all times. Don't do because your flesh says, man, I got to go over. I got to go here now. I got to go there now. No, you got to go where the Lord says, not where you want to. You don't belong to yourself anymore. Do you know that? You have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. We still want to do what we want to do when we want to do. whenever we want to do. Listen. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pull up anchor and sail close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength burst across the island and blew up on the sea. This is called a northeaster. The sailors turned the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. In other words, they couldn't turn the way that they would be able to manage the ship. So they leave everything for the wind to do whatever the wind wants to do with the ship. Turn it heavy anywhere, bump it, shove it anywhere it wants to. You can't fight against God's power. God already told you there's going to be a storm on the water. Excuse me. There's going to be a storm out on the water. You ought to stay at anchor where you were. But no, you still want to go over. You said, I'm going down to Florida. I got to be in Texas. I'm gone. And they tell you there's going to be tornadoes and hurricanes and all types of awesome wind and stuff happening. You still want to go. You still want to go. Then God said, "Don't go." I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. So I'm going. God's going to protect me. Well, God just told you don't go. God told you that there's going to be people shooting down the street. You know, you push your head up, I'm going down there. God will protect me. You'll be dead. You'll be dead in the grave, in the casket. You'll be like the man when God says, when the story, they said there was a storm or something, and the water was raging, and the man was going down through the river, whatever he was going. You know the story. I'm just paraphrasing what I hear in my spirit right now. And they said that there was a pole or something come down the river, and he said he wasn't going to get on the pole, save his life. You know, you may hear it a different way. So he said, because God going to come and get him. Then that time they had a raft come down. He wouldn't get in the raft because he said God going to save him. Well, the next time comes, if the angel comes, he don't get it. Go with the angel. You know, he said, well, God going to save him. Then he ended up and died and go to heaven and ask God why he didn't come and save him. He was waiting for him. and the God said, when you saw this and you saw that, that was me coming to save you. See, we don't want to adhere to God's voice. We want to do what feels good to us. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You ought to be listening to the Spirit at all times. You ought to be tuned in. I always say there's a signal. There is a signal that leaving heaven every moment. It never stops leaving heaven. It's the sound of God's voice, his instructions that are coming to us spiritually. The Bible said God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So God is ministering, giving us instructions from heaven all the time so that we will continue to walk in his path. Not the way we want to walk, but you know what happens is we don't take time to hear what I'm saying. We don't take time. I'm included. We don't take time enough to spend time to listen to God, to get the instructions that we need to make it through each day. Then when we come ashore, we start blaming God. The sailors can turn the ship. So they let it run before the gale, the wind. We sail along the sheltered side of a small island named Kuta. With great difficulty, we hoist aboard the lifeboat, being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull and of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across the sandbars and cypress of the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at least all hope was gone. No. They could have saved everything. Just to listen to the voice of God coming through the man of God. Paul already had the vision, already got instructions that there was going to be a storm. Men and women of God, we hear from God. Those of us that strive to live a holy life, a righteous life, an obedient life to God, we hear from him. Hallelujah. And he gives us instruction, but everybody don't follow the instruction. Because remember, this flesh is not saved. This flesh still wants to do what it wants to do whenever it wants to do. Paul said, when I want to do good, evil is always present. The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Because this flesh. But God has to give us some things to keep us in check. Paul had a thorn in his side. We don't know what it was. To keep him buffered, keep him in check. Listen. Here he says, hallelujah. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your life, even though the ship will go down. The last night, an angel of the God whom I belonged and whom I serve stood beside me. Paul tell him for last night, an angel of the Lord who I serve. Can you imagine the people looking at Paul just like they look at us when we have visions and we tell you what's going to happen? You look and say, well, that's just David over there in Massachusetts. That's just Apostle Stuart over there in New Orleans. That's just Prophetess Kershey over there in Tennessee. That's just Minister Jones. He's a truck driver. Why would God tell him stuff? But see, that's the thing that you don't understand. The Bible says he used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the weak things to confound the mighty. See, we don't want to receive when the man of God, the true man of God, is telling you something. Paul told him, if you had listened to me, you wouldn't have suffered loss. But take courage, we're not going to lose no lives, even though the ship going to go down. Because Paul said, because you didn't listen, the ship going down. We're talking about working for the Lord. And the subtitle, Men and Women of God. You got to listen. One woman called me and tell me, Pastor, I want to marry to this man. I saw my husband. She's an evangelist. Somewhere in Texas somewhere. And she was over in Chicago. She said, I need to pray for me, for my husband. So I said, well, okay, let me just listen to hear what the Spirit is saying. And while listening, I was on another prayer line from Houston, Texas, where my spiritual daughter, she's a pastor. And I'm listening. She said, well, I'm going to call you after the prayer line is closed down. So she called me. Here she comes telling me, Apostle, that the man she want me to pray for to be her husband, he's got a wife. Do you hear me? He's a prophet or prophet or apostle or something. But he's got, I think it was a prophet. And he's got a wife. And she's telling me, she's a evangelist. She's telling me, I have talked to her since then. She tell me I need to pray. And to pray for God to show her. I said, God didn't show you that. God did not show you that man that belongs to that woman is your husband. He did not show you that. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. You know what? I didn't pray for her. I do. I got to go. She said, you mean you're not going to pray for my husband? I said, no, I can't pray for that. That man is already mine. I can't pray for you. See, you got to listen to what God is saying. God has given us the instructions for his people. They're not all people, even though we say, oh, church, my church. They're not ours. They belong to God. We are just a watchman taking care of the sheep till the real shepherd come. That's all we're doing. You know, people sometimes say, well, there was this body on Block Talk Radio, really, that body on Block Talk Radio, really, but they're no longer here. God told me years ago, maybe 2011 or 12, he said, people are going to come and they're going to learn. They're going to sharpen their skills on Block Talk Radio, really, they're going to move on. He said, let them go, don't worry. And we see it since 2012. People come in here and stay here for a few years, and they go. We're not mad. We never get mad. Because why? When they got here, they learned some stuff. Because we are teachers. We got many teachers. Now, why let everybody preach? All those that can preach and love the Lord, let them preach. Why? Because when you preach, you sharpen me. When I preach, I should be sharpening you. When the next person preach, they sharpen you. They sharpen us. We sharpen one another. Earn, sharpen, earn. And then they go on and have somebody to get on their feet. Because they may be called to other people that I am not called to, that you're not called to. Now listen. Paul told them, he said, to take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. He said, for last night, an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and whom I serve stood by me. He stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. He says, what's more, God is, in his goodness, has granted you safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said. But we will be shipwrecked. Paul already told us, I believe. And see, but we will be shipwrecked. Why? Because you didn't listen to first instructions. People go and get married to the wrong people. The pastor says, after counseling them, the pastor said, look, I just got to tell you the truth. But this man is not right for you. This woman is not right. You got to tell them the truth. Why are you going to stand there and see them? People going to get into a marriage that's not going to last. God will show you. Don't say, because they're going to give you a love offering for the church, don't marry them people. Why are you counseling them people? That's why we don't go to, but come on. I'm going to do your marriage sermon. Counseling you for a few months. Depends on how low God says. Sometimes 3 months, sometimes 6 months, sometimes a whole year. And God will tell you. And my son called me and he said, Daddy, I'm going to marry to Jessica. And I want you to do the marriage sermon for us. I already know Jessica. But I spent time with him. I spent time with him. And I knew that she was in love with my son and my son was in love with her. And it's been about 15 years now or more that we still married. And they're young people. Got a little daughter. She's 10, turned 11. But you got to study, and you got to study to show yourself approved. You got to focus in what God is saying, Hey, God's speaking to us. Look, after midnight on the 14th night of the storm, that's a long time to be in a storm. You think a storm would just last one day or so, 2 days. But he says about midnight on the 14th night of the storm, as we were being driven across the sea of Idria, the sailors sent, their sense land was near. They dropped a weight line and found that the water was just 120 feet deep. But a little later, they measured again and found it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. So they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship and prayed for. Then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to the commanding officer and the sailors, "You will all die unless the sailors stay aboard." He got, even though you can sense land, even though the water is getting shallow, it's not as deep as before when you was out in the middle of the ocean. You got to still listen to what God is saying. God is speaking to us. God is saying, look and see what's happening in the Middle East. Look at what's happening in the north, the south, the east, and the west. Look around, what's, see what's happening in your city, in your state, in, oh my God, in your country. Look and see what's happening. Courage. I am with you, son. I'm with you, man of God, woman of God. I'm with you. Trust my instructions. Follow my leading. Let my word be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Let me lead and guide you. Let me be the shepherd. You be the sheep. Sometimes we want to get in front like we are the shepherd. We're not the shepherd. He's the shepherd. Let him lead. Sometimes you're going to think you're missing some stuff, but in reality, you're not missing anything. You say, well, I don't have this. I don't have that. Well, if you really had to have it, God would give it to you. But some things that we want, we don't really need. We want it so bad, we don't really need it. Because if you really need it, God would give it to you. You want it. And when you get it, you can't keep it. People go to the extreme to get a husband, go to the extreme to find a wife. And then when they get her, because God did not release that man for them or that woman for them, guess what happened? The marriage don't last no more than 2 months, 2 years or 3 years. They think it's good, and all of a sudden they can't stand each other because it was not God connection. He was not the plus sign in the marriage. He was not the glue that holding the marriage together. They just had some lust for a little bit. And the sex was good for just a year and a half or 2 years. And after a year and a half or 2 years, the sex then wasn't enticing at all. It wasn't exciting anymore. So I guess now they want to get divorced. Why? Because it wasn't put together by God. Listen to what he says. No. I know what God is saying that, but look, what he says. He says, stay in the boat. You got to stay in the boat. See, when you're in the boat, guess what happens? Christ is in the boat. It doesn't matter how the water is coming, how the waves are bumping up, and the water coming over the sides of the boat, he's in the boat. You don't have to worry. Is Christ in your boat today? Is he in your ship? Your ship represents, your life represents the ship. Is he in your life? Or he's just in your head? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, we sing the song. But do you really love him? Because if you really love him, you'll be doing what he said do. We sing the song. It sounds good, and everybody says, well, she got a melodious voice. He got a melodious voice. I love when he sings. I love when she sings. It sounds so good. In your head, you love him. But in your heart, do you really love him? Because if you love him, you would set yourself apart for him. You wouldn't be attracted to other things of the world. And see, when he delivered us, he delivered us from the things of this world. Our spirit man should not be still, your flesh still want to, but our spirit man should not be still craving these things of the world. I just got to have it. What are you going to do with all that stuff when you get it? Now you tear down a barn, you want to build a new barn because you just want to put it in. You want to get a bigger house, more garages, more swimming pools, all this stuff. What are you going to do with all this stuff? You can only swim in one swimming pool at a time. You got five cars. You can only drive one at a time. You wouldn't give away one of them cars. Not one of them cars. You got people coming to your church that got to catch two buses and a train to get to your church. And you wouldn't give them one of them cars. You got five cars. Your sons and daughters all got cars, so they don't need one of them. You got five cars. This is what they do. Paul said to the commanding officer and to the soldiers, you will all die unless the sailors stay aboard. So the sailors cut the rope to the lifeboat and let it drift away.
Peter was getting ready to step into that lifeboat. The lifeboat can't save you unless Jesus is in it. And let me tell you this. The lifeboat cannot save us unless Jesus is in it. I don't care if you got a bunker. Look, they're building bunkers. Bill Gates got bunkers in the Caribbean. He got bunkers in Brazil. He got bunkers in Africa. He got bunkers all over the United States. You hear what I'm saying? They were talking the other night how the walls are so thick, made of concrete. And none can come through the wall. May your bomb. Maybe your bomb, the bomb can't get through the wall, but guess who can get through the wall? Jesus. He don't need a key to get through the wall. Get it? He comes through the wall. When the disciples are in the room talking, conversing among each other, guess what happened? The door was closed. What did he do? He come right through, stand in the middle of them. That's Jesus. He's all powerful. If he's in your ship, in your heart, no hell can touch you. I don't care what it is. It can't touch you. Listen. I'm going to tell you, this is good. This is good right here. Look, I'm going to do a part two of this because I got a sermon that I want to preach, but I want to preach that little hoop a little bit, but I don't know if I do it. Listen. Glory to God. They cut that lifeboat away, let that lifeboat drift away. So just as day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. No, they haven't eaten for many days. They're worried that they're going to lose their life. They're concerned that the ship going to sink. They haven't been eaten either. We heard that in the message earlier. He said, you have been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks, he said. He said, please eat something now for your own good. For not a hair of your head will perish. Can you imagine the man of God just saying this to them? 2 weeks they haven't eaten. Dealing with the storm, the water, the wind. Trying to stay alive. Afraid. They haven't eaten anything. And Paul tell them, please eat something. He said, look, 2 weeks you haven't eaten anything. But he said, look, it will do you good to eat. Guess what happens? When you eat something, you're going to begin to get some strength. Because, see, you're not, it's like you were fast. You haven't eaten. You haven't drinking. Your body, your strength is failing. You can't stand up against this wind. You got to eat something. You can't stand up against this water, the power of this water. One of the strongest forces on earth is water. You can't stand up against it. You got to eat something. Strengthen your body. So we're trying to get so connected to this world system. And all this stuff going to fall away. I'm telling you, it's all going to perish. Don't matter how much we get or gain in this earth, we can't take nothing with us. We better strengthen the spirit. We better do things that will strengthen our spirit, man. Hallelujah. Continue connected to the vine. Because remember, I always said we are the branches. And without the connection to him, we are nothing. We become weak, fragile, easily to be broken. We got to stay connected. Listen to him. Listen. Oh, my God. Listen. Oh, Paul says, then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all, and broke off a piece and ate it. Then everyone was encouraged to begin to eat. All 276 of us who were on board. All after eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. When morning dawned, they didn't recognize the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get to the shore by running the ship aground. Now, see, before there was one that the ship would hit the rocks. But now they're not concerned because they got some strength and God allowing them to see a bay, a beach. They can see the sand from where they are. Do you hear what I'm saying? I think there was somewhere in the copy because you can see the sand is glittering. You know, the sand in our country, in Africa too, is like, white. You can see the glitter from the sand. So they wonder what they go on board, go on shore. 276 of them. That's a big ship. None of them are lost. They're throwing stuff, the wheat that they would need to make bread. Cakes and stuff, they're throwing overboard. You hear what I'm saying? And they ready to ram the ship. So they cut off the anchors and left them in the sea. Then they didn't even pull the anchors back on board. They cut the rope and leave the anchor down inside the water. Then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, and head towards shore. But they hit its shore and ran the ship aground too soon. See, there's a reef they hit. They hit a reef, you know. In certain parts, I know we have in our country, country was born, and you can look and you're in deep, deep water. And all of a sudden you come to a reef, this coral reef. You could almost get out the ship and stand on it. You know, it's just a little bit below the water. You can see the coral and you can stand on it. So to hit that, the ship is wrecked now. Understand? But the ship, the beach is right there. They can see the beach. They ain't got to go too far. Why? Because not only because they had rowed a little bit, but God's servant, God man, is in the ship. And when God man is in the ship, God man is representing God. He's the officer. He's the ambassador of God. Do you know, oh God, when you're in the mall and folk is acting simple, God will protect that mall because you're there. Just because you are there, he'll cover that whole mall just to protect you. Folks, you hear shots going everywhere. Going everywhere. And God said, no. Ain't nobody going to die in here today because you're there. Your presence is his presence. You carrying him. You hear me? He's inside of you. No, I hear this thing here. I got a sermon here, but this is what God has shown me here. Listen. Glory to God. They ram and break bark. Listen. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape. But the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so he didn't let them carry out their plan. Then he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard. He ordered them to jump overboard first and make for land. The others held on to planks or debris from the broken ship, broken pieces of the ship that were floating. They hang on to. It was a wooden ship. So everyone escaped safely to shore. See, when the man of God is in the house, when the woman of God is in, are we talking about working for the Lord? And the subtitle is Mighty Men and Women of God. When the man of God or woman of God, I'm not talking about these fellas that play in church. I'm not talking about these preachers, men and women that are slipping and dipping. I'm talking about the ones that have given their souls to God. They're not perfect, but they're pressing forward for perfection to please God. When they're in the house, I'm telling you some things that happen. Listen. David, this where we at. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 10 or 11. That's the spiritual gifts. Now, dear brothers and sisters, men and women of God, regarding your questions about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when we were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. In other words, you were worshiping idols that could not walk and talk and do nothing, couldn't see nothing, but you were worshiping them. You got people that got Buddhas in the house. I was connected to an organization of people from my country back over in Maryland, Prince George's County, that worship Buddha. And they were prospering. And you know, I almost, Jesus helped me, got caught up into it. Because I saw they had the little box in the house called Gazeba or Gehenza or something like that. Some funny name like that. But they had a little box on the wall. And it had a little Buddha, a little fat belly man. And it had a little thing, a little triangle thing that hold the incense. And there was a chant that I still know in my mind. I don't speak it. I don't let it come up my mind. And it's a chant, that thing, and it was, it kind of keep going over, going over, going over, going over, going over. And I saw that the guy was parking, had many houses, bought many houses. And I said, Lord, but I was raised up in the church, Episcopal church back in the country. I heard about Jesus. I didn't know him like I know him now. But I still didn't want to become this thing. But I went over to the Buddha temple one night, and I saw all of these, what do you call them, the Japanese or Chinese or whatever. But, you know, from one of them countries. And these fellas from women and men from Barbados, Trinidad, they all up in there. And the place is full of smoke. They got all different types of incense burning. Man, I tell you, so tell the truth. You know, I didn't know the voice of God like I know now. But this person said to me, this is not for you. I couldn't understand it. Everybody said, well, hey, David, you're going to become part of us. I said, I got to think about it. But the Spirit said to me, this is not for you. And I didn't even know him like I know him now. See, God had already had his hands upon my life. And Paul says, you know that when we were all still pagans living the life of the world, you were led astray and swept along and worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit gives us the truth. He gives us the utterance to declare that Jesus is Lord. And once he gives us, you can't turn back. You can't. It's hard to turn back. Once you get to know him like that, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. But the one Spirit, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Different kinds of spiritual gifts. Understand? You got the spiritual gift of wisdom. The spiritual gift of knowledge, of faith, of healing, of miracles, of prophecy, of discernment, tongues. Hallelujah. Interpretations of tongues. There you got the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Hallelujah. Understanding that these gifts are very important. The gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of the fruit. Hallelujah. The gifts, there are nine spiritual gifts. And there are nine fruits of the Spirit. The gifts are skill sets needed to get the job done. These spiritual gifts. And the fruits are Christ-like qualities that help us work together. See, if we don't have love for one another, we can't work together. It's impossible. It's not going to work. So we need to have the spiritual gifts to get the job done. And then we need to have the fruits of the Spirit to work together. Hallelujah. We got to be able to bear each other when each other's going through. Not cut each other down, but we need to be able to lift each other up. None of us can get in by ourselves. We sometimes, as preachers, act like crabs in a bucket. We want to get out the bucket, but we don't want to put nobody out. Matter of fact, we'll kick the rest down. Paul says, he says, here, look, it's the same Spirit. There are different kinds of services, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. His spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help one another. See? To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same spirit gives a message of spiritual knowledge. The same spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So we need these two sections. To have these two sections, the fruit of the Spirit, we need these. And the gifts of the Spirit. We need them. We need to have them to get to work to accomplish what God wants done. Jesus said in John 7 and 22, he said, Father, the glory I had with you I have given to them, that they might become one as we are one. And there's such a great division in the house now, you wonder what we have. We say, I'm so anointed, I'm appointed, I'm approved, but I can't get along with my sister. Oh, I speak in tongues, I lay hands on people to get healed, but I can't help my brother. I tell you the truth. There's many people in Africa that have never met Apostle Stuart. And he don't want me to say this, but I'm saying it because the Holy Ghost just tell me that. And if he get mad and rebuke me, that's fine. But there's many people in Indian Africa that don't know Apostle Stuart or Apostle George Stuart. But they're responsible from time to time for putting food and sending the kids to school, putting food on their tables. There's other people that comes on this line. That people are... don't know them, never met them before. But they have put food on the table. They saved their lives by sowing into their lives. This is what the church does. David's mighty men established his rule in Israel. Likewise, you are called to submit to the leadership of Christ and demonstrate to the world what it's like to live according to the rules and benefits of his kingdom. Jesus would not have taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, if it's a prayer God wouldn't answer. See, Jesus told us to pray that way because he knew if we pray that way, that God would answer us, because that's the prayer that leaves the gates of your heart. And he answers it through people like you and me. So are you interested in becoming a mighty man or woman of God? Then let's look at King David's army. First, they were balanced. They were armed with bows and could use both right and left arm. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 2. When you go to extremes and get out of balance, you hurt God's kingdom rather than help it. For an example, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit and 9 fruits of the Spirit listed in Scripture. The gifts are skill sets needed to get the job done. The fruits are Christ-like qualities that helps us work together. And you must have both Notice how God designed the garments of the high priest. On the hem of the bottom of his robe were bells and pomegranates, gifts and fruits. Let me read that again. On the hem of the priest's garments, the bottom, his robe were bells and pomegranates, fruits, gifts and fruits. Why? Because the bells would clang harshly against each other. So God placed pomegranates in between to keep it from happening. Hallelujah. Same way that the fruit of the Spirit help us not to fight. If we allow the fruits of the Spirit to work with the gifts, we'll have a good thing going. We'll be able to work together and accomplish what God wants done. But we cling to one side because if we have the gifts, we're going to get rich. And that's all we're focusing on. We're focusing on getting the materialistic things of the world and not accomplishing the spiritual things that God wants us to accomplish. That's the souls of men and women. If we, look. So God placed pomegranates in between to keep it from happening. Getting that idea? If you are joyful at church but cantankerous at home, you are out of balance. Let me pull this computer up a different way so I can see what I'm doing. Some pastors, they have a smile from ear to ear when they're on the podium preaching. Oh, they say, that's my wife over there sitting in the front row. And they boast. They talk about their wife in the front row, that's my husband. And so on. But as soon as they get off that front row, as soon as they get off the pulpit preaching a song doctrine, they are fussing with their wife, they're fussing with the children. I know preachers like that. Their dad ain't going, I'm not going to call him in. But they used to be, so I look so excited, so loving in the church, in the sanctuary. But soon they not even get home, get in the car, they was fighting with each other. The Bible says, he says here, this is what I'm saying. I was writing this here for 2 days, I was writing this thing. And he says, now, but cantankerous at home, you are out of balance. If you can't talk to Christians, but you have nothing to say to non-Christians, you're out of balance. Spiritually speaking, you're supposed to be ambidextrous. You got to be able to work on both sides. You got to be able to minister to Christians and non-Christians. You got to be able to talk to those that are saved and those that are not saved. You say, well, but she's a lesbian. I'm messing with her. He's a homosexual. How are they going to get to know Jesus? How are they going to get to know that he loved them so much that he went to the cross and died on that cross in spite of their sin? He died for you when you were throwing the dice. You remember when you used to play the dice? You remember when you had 3 or 4 different women? Remember when you had 3 or 4 different men and your wife was home crying? Your husband was home crying? But now you are preaching and teaching now. You forget but what God delivered you from. I don't forget because I was a mess. Here's the second quality found in David's mighty men. We're talking about working for the Lord, and the subtitle is Mighty Men and Mighty Women. Let me go back over here. Mighty Men and Mighty Women of God. Mighty Men and Women of God. The second quality found in David's men, hallelujah, they understood the situation and had wisdom to deal with it. The sons of Issachar had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. In verse 32, we read that early from 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We must spend time with each other, teaching, preaching, listening and soaking up, becoming a sponge when the word of God is being taught. Because it's not about us. It's about him. People seeing him in us. Because sometimes we are trying to push our chest up like we know all of the scripture. We can sing well, we can dance well, play the keyboard well, but we don't know how to treat people well. We don't know how to respond to people. And then we think that everybody is a witch or a warlock. Everybody. You wonder why your church can't grow. Because you don't see people as the people of God. You see warlock and witches. The sons of Issachar had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You are not called to avoid the world or denounce it, but to engage it and say, here's God's solution to your problem. Jesus promised, I will give you words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict you. We read that in Luke chapter 21, verse 15. When you walk with the Lord, you won't just see what's happening around you. He will tell you what to do about it. Furthermore, when you are going the wrong way, he will redirect you onto the right path. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the spirit did not permit them in Acts chapter 16, verse 7. That night, God gave Paul a vision directing him to go to Macedonia and preach. God even gave Paul a warning that the ship he was on was heading into a storm that would result in great loss. Unfortunately, nobody would listen to him. Acts chapter 27, verse 9-11, we read it all the way down. God not only told Joseph how to be prepared for 7 years of recession or famine, but how to prosper and come out of it stronger. And a lot of us have discovered that if we simply follow the advice of people and don't consult God, it can cost us dearly. Stop compartmentalizing your Christianity or confining it to Sunday morning at church. The Bible says the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding, Proverbs 2 and 6. Here's another quality that David's mighty men, that sets David's mighty men apart from others. They understood the importance of connection. See, it's a lot of things that happen when we are connected one to another. Number one, it gives the Holy Spirit latitude to work through us and with us when we are connected. When the apostles were in the upper room, the Holy Spirit had already told them to go to Jerusalem and wait until they be endowed with power. But they could not be endowed because they were all confused. Let's say they were confused. There was discussion about and worried about who was going to be the leader. Who was going to be the one, because of the Savior had gone back to the throne room. So they were concerned and argumented with each other. It wasn't until they become connected in the Spirit. When they became connected in the Spirit, the Bible said they were on one accord, having one heart, one mind, one spirit. That when they got on one accord, they get the power. This is what is stopping us from having the manifestation of God's power working through us as believers. We still believe in him, but we don't trust each other enough to work with each other. We don't operate in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Unity. Strong relationship. All these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over all Israel. Did you know that when Roman soldiers went into battle, their shields, which protected them from shin to toe, were linked to one another, forming a wall of defense? What a picture. Now my shield protects not only me, but it protects you. Your shield protects not only you, but it protects me. Just picture that all of these shields just together. And the enemy can't come through. Because it's not one shield he's dealing with, but he's dealing with thousands of shields that are linked together. What a picture to see. If we come together like that, the devil would have a problem trying to take us out. The Bible instructs us to pray for one another, defend one another, strengthen one another, sharpen one another, bear one another burdens. And yes, lovingly confront one another when it's called for. When you have a stubborn habit, you can't conquer on your own. You need someone to support you and keep you accountable. Some people say, well, I'm accountable to Apostle Stewart or Pastor George Stewart. But when they confront you on your lower down self, you get mad. When they see where you're going wrong and tell you, you can't take it, you can't receive it, but you want to work for God. And God has put people in your position, in your place, in your presence. Hallelujah. To keep you on the straight and narrow path. But as soon as they give you some instructions, who they think they are? Who they think they are that they can talk to me anywhere? Well, you say you're accountable to them. Now I feel like I'm accountable to Pastor Josh, Apostle Stewart. If they call me and say, well, the pastor, well, we understand it. They don't got to tell me who said it. I understand it. I said, well, if it's true, I won't say, well, thank you, I did say it. If it's not true, I said, well, thank you for bringing it to my attention, but I didn't say it. But if I said, I got to be honest with myself. Why? Because I want to grow. Remember, I always said, without correction, there's no growth. That's true. If you don't get corrected, you're stuck on stupid. I don't care what you own or what you have or what you think you're going to get. If you don't get correction, you're stuck on stupid. Your spirit is not going anywhere. You only mature spiritually as you connect with spiritually mature people. I was writing this here for 2 days. You only mature spiritually as you connect with spiritually mature people. Paul addresses those who couldn't work with anybody and always wanted to go off and do their own thing. There should be no schisms in the body. But the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the body suffers with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 to 27, New King James Version. Disconnected from other believers, you are like a body part without the benefits of the brain or blood supply, a source of nutrition, a system that eliminates toxins, etc. Literally, you are incapable of getting anywhere or accomplishing anything worthwhile. So the word for you today is keep rank. David's men did not desert him. Even when he came into battles, and even when he had done something wrong, they did not desert him. Yes, there were times that they felt like they wanted to kill him. You remember when at Ziklag the people came in and they burned up everything, and they took the women and the children? I think it was the Amorites. But what they said, they want to stone David. And David began to pray. Because David knew that the people were mad at him. He didn't do anything wrong, but they were mad at him. You see, sometimes when we leave home, we leave the home as an open target. We take everything out, we go out, and we leave the home open. We don't pray and cover the house, cover the family members that are home. So the enemy is able to come in and attack the home and attack the family. That's what they did. They took the women and the children and all the livestock. And David went to God and he began to pray God. He said, shall I pursue them? Will I recover? And what did God tell him? He said, go after them. I'm not in the chapter. I'm just paraphrasing now. God tell him to pursue. You shall recover all. And then the man was happy. They were happy because they get back their wives and they got back their children and livestock. Today I come to tell you, if you are a man of God, a woman of God, or called to preach or teach the gospel, learn how to work with other people. Learn how to take correction. Honor your leaders. Don't jump off because you think that you're better than this or that, buddy. Don't jump off. What do I mean jump off? I say, well, I'm not going back to the church anymore. I don't want fellowship with him or her anymore. They think that this, they think that. This is what a lot of preachers do. They think of this, think of that. No. Let me read that again to what I wrote last night. You only mature spiritually as you connect with spiritually mature people. You only mature spiritually. If you think that you mature because you preach two scriptures, you know two scriptures, you're not growing nowhere. You can't get along with nobody. You think that you're always right. Nobody can correct you. We lost some good people. We lose some good people here from those thoughts. And we lose them because they thought that they were always right. Nobody can correct them. They had the final word. But you know what I said? That I'm not perfect, and I don't have the final word, but I know the one that has the final word. I just celebrated 74 years. Post on Facebook. I said I didn't put up none because I didn't want nobody to keep pounding me down with that stuff, you know. I didn't even have a birthday party at my house. You know, I just spend time with the Lord. I was talking to some people, and I said, so what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to stay in my word. I'm going to spend that day with the Lord. All day long I was in the word. Why? Because the preacher on Blog Talk, and then I went into the word. Get off and went into the word. Laid on my bed with a computer and searched the word. And because I always say, when I was younger, they say I was a rebel. I'll tell you the truth, I was a rebel. And people, even my family, didn't think I was going to make it to 16. And I made it up. And I lived longer than my father. I lived longer than my mother. Understand? Because God stopped all of my generational curses at me. He stopped my family generational curse at me. I'm the one that is the preacher. I'm the one that declaring Jesus. And my sister, she loved the Lord. She's 88 years old. And my God, I was just them getting ready to go back there. I might go back down in December. I'm planning on going back home, really. And she goes to church every Sunday. She don't drive, but she go out to the street. She catch the cab right from down the street from her house, and she go to church. 88 years old. I called. I said, what you doing? Why are you not home? She said, I had to go to the store. She's down to the store. She's going to the store. Nobody don't go to the store for her. She go to the store herself. She's 88 years old and got 20/20 vision. 20/20 vision. I can't believe it. I got to wear glasses. And my sister got 20/20 vision. I was there. I said, let me cook for you. No, I'm going to cook for you. Bro, I'm going to cook for you. Jesus. I said, well, you know I can cook. You know mother taught me to cook before she leave here. I want things all of us could cook. But she was cooking for me, man. And I mean, she was making some fried chicken and fish and stuff. Oh, my Lord, I was just loving on my sister. And God give me a good sister. When I was home, I wouldn't say I was close to them because, I was a rebel. I was hitting the streets, playing the dice and all that kind of stuff, gambling and running here and running there and doing some things that wasn't in the Bible, you know what I'm saying? Because that was my life. But I thank God for Jesus that he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. My old mama, may she rest in peace, was praying for me because it didn't look like I was going to make it. And when the thought that I was going to be dead, it was a relative of ours that got killed. Young man, too. He was the same age as me.
and he got killed, and the guy threw him off the cliff, because to the water is like a cliff. The rocks goes a big cliff. Rocks goes around the ocean. Well, now that is all receded, and it's now staying to a big beach, fancy beach. They dig up all the sand and the water so that the ship could come in there to bring the oil, and it formed a big beach. But he worshipped. They killed him the night he worshipped, the next day on the beach, they thought it was me. But God had his hands on me. Don't tell me. God was saving me and protecting me for what I'm doing now. I don't proclaim that I can do anything. I just do the much that he loves to do. And Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you have given us. We ask, O God, that even those that came on and heard the word, Lord God, that their life will never be the same. God, they recognize who they are, what they were called to do. They know their purpose now, Lord. They realize that it's not them, but it's you, God, and that we are workers for you. You ordain us to work, oh God. You didn't call us to sit on to do nothing. You didn't call us to criticize nobody or condemn nobody, because we don't have a heaven or hell to put anyone in. We just pray that people would hear your voice and that they would come to you, because you said no one can come to you except you draw them. And today, Lord Jesus, we want to give them the opportunity to do just that, to come to you. After receiving a word like this today, Lord, you bless me. Lord, telling me I got to stay connected, not only to you, but I got to stay connected to people. Because people have people. You said, earn, sharpen, earn. Oh, God, we got to stay connected. Nobody is so great that they can say, well, because I got a PhD, I got a doctorate degree, that I'm better than the other person that don't have a doctorate degree. Because they may have doctorate degree, PhD, MA, BA, all this stuff, but their heart is not pure. Their heart is not pure. And you're looking for the heart, a pure heart. That's what you're looking for, or a heart that's inclined to be pure. You know, that's what you're looking for. Somebody that know that they're not all that. You said you came to save the sinners. You know, to seek and to save that which is lost, not those people that think that they got it together. So, Father, I pray today that there may be somebody, just one out there in computer land today. Sometimes we do the prayer of salvation before we go into the message. But today, you know, some days we do it after. But there may be someone out there today that don't know you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Somebody has been dealing with it, trouble in their spirit, man, because they were brought up this way or that way to believe in this entity or that entity. They may be brought up in a place that was worshiping statues, like the scripture says. They were worshiping, Paul says, you know, some people were worshiping different idols and stuff, Lord God. But today they heard this word and they be convicted in their hearts that they need a Savior, that they need someone to deliver them from the pit of hell, because they're getting ready to burst hell wide open. Now, Father, I ask you today in the name of Jesus that there's one out there that needs, hungry and thirsty, want to know Jesus as Lord, that they will call out to you right now. Call out to you for salvation in repentance. Now, Peter said that let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you can't lose. The moment you surrender, the moment that you give your life to Christ, he is so awesome that he begins blessing us. He gives us his spirit, which helps us to live in the way that he wants us to live, or he ordained for us to live, that pleases him. So he know we can't do it on our own. That's why he gave us the spirit. Do you know that? Jesus knew that we could not, none of us could live the life that he wanted on our own. That's why he gave us, he says, expedient that he go to the Father, but when he leaves, he will not leave us comfort. He will send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead, he will bring all things to our remembrance, everything that he has told us. That's why you got to go into the book. Go into the book and see what he has told us. It's in the book. It's not on the wall. It's not at the supermarket. Not at the mall. In the book. You got to go in the book.
And don't just wait for the pastor to tell you. Go in the book for yourself so you can see what God is saying to you. He speaks to you through the word. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Bible said that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See? He didn't send his son in here to condemn the world. He sent his son in this world to save the world, to give his life as a living, holy sacrifice. He's the Lamb without blemish, came to the cross, died for sins that he didn't commit. He paid a price that he did not owe at the cross. Your sin, my sins, our sin, he paid the price for it. It was very costly. Somebody said, it didn't cost me nothing. Yeah, it didn't cost you nothing, but it cost him everything. His life. And then we want to play with it. We want to play with it like it's this. It don't have no value. Salvation value everything. 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 You come this far and then you want to go back and act like a fool after getting this far. The devil don't have access to you anymore because of the blood. Then you still want to act a fool and go back and act simple again. That's really a fool. When you get out, when he let you out. Because folks say, you know, folks, it just gets me mad. I was listening to preacher the other day. Say, oh, you know, I just want to let you know. I was this and I was that. And he sounded very good, too. I mean, he sounded really good. He said, I was this and I was that. But I remember when I found God. And that's when he lost me. That's the moment he lost me. He lost me right there. When he said, I was this and I was that. And he was whooping and hollering. He said, but when I find God, I was gone. I'm telling the truth. I was gone there. When he said when he found God, that was the end for me. Because I said, man, you'll never find God because God was never lost. Came in the crack house for me. I can't tell nobody that I found him. I didn't even want to go out. I was study getting high. He said, this was it for you. You're never going to get high anymore. And I still tried to get high. Couldn't get high. After he told me that I would never get high again, I tried to get high. Couldn't get high. Everybody else was getting high. Best dope in the world I had. And couldn't get high. And that was it for me. So God come and found me there, take me out and deliver me. If you are there in sin today, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, you got to repent. You got to confess Jesus. You got to denounce Satan and all of his agents. You got to denounce them. The lifestyle that you used to live, that was all by Satan. You got to denounce it. If you don't denounce it, you're going to find yourself going back and doing it all over again. You got to denounce it. Let go. Let go and let God. This is what you got to do. I know sometimes it's hard because the flesh still craving the old habits, but you got to start somewhere. And then you start with it and say, oh, Lord, I need to help you in this area, Lord. Help me in this area, Lord. Ask him. You fighting hard to do it on your own. Don't know if the God, I need you, Lord, help me in this area. Man, as you said, look, I went through about three or four different drug rehab centers. I tell you, I'm sharing this with you because somebody, they're going to hear this, that you're fighting marijuana, you're fighting cocaine, you're fighting heroin, methamphetamines, you are fighting the drug addiction, you're fighting homosexualism, you're fighting lesbianism, you're fighting stuff, that's just all of those vices. Dealing your drug dealer, you sell your body, you fighting all of these addictions. You can't get it, but you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. I went to about three or four different rehab centers to try to get my life together because I was sick and tired. But I still couldn't do it because the flesh still had control. I would say I wouldn't get high because I was broke, and as soon as I get money, I got high. You hear what I'm telling you? I'm telling this streak. I'm just sharing this from my heart. But the moment that I asked Jesus to come into my life and set me free, I went into Salvation Army for 11 months and didn't know that that was the place that God would use to deliver me. And I went in there, and a young man, he'd gone home to be with the Lord, powerful elder of the church. And he He was living in Salvation Army because he had nobody. He lived there, and he worked for Salvation Army. And he says, Brother Dave, can I pray for you? I said, sure. I thought he was going to just pray. I pray, you know, God just delivered this man from his addiction, set him free. I thought that was he was going to pray. But no, he prayed for me to receive the gift of salvation. He asked me if I believe in Jesus. I said, yeah, I believe in Jesus. He said, well, do you believe that Jesus can deliver you from this vice? And I said, yeah, man, I believe. And he started to talk about Romans chapter 10, and he talked about John 3 and 16 and so on, and different scriptures. And I tell you, brother, I will not lie to you out there in computer land. And I prayed where he tell me prayed. And while I was praying, something happened to me. I can't explain it to you, but something happened. I began to feel this weight lifted off of me. And I was sitting inside what they call the vestry, which the chapel, they call the chapel. I was in the chapel, and I was sitting on the pew, and I started weeping. Man, I just couldn't stop. And he was just praying for me, and I prayed, he told me to pray, and ask God in my heart. And let me tell you something, man, I just weep. Next thing I know, man, I didn't have no desire. I was going to the Bible studies and all that stuff. And one night he had to go out. This has happened for a while. He had to go to another church to preach for his own church, to the church that he was the elder in the church. He wasn't the pastor, he was the elder. And he was got to the pastor, Pastor Baltimore. His name was Pastor Baltimore. He died from cancer. And this young man was going to go there and preach. He was about my age. He's going a little younger than me, I guess. And he was going to go, had to go and preach for the pastor, Pastor Baltimore. He said, Brother Dave, will you do me a favor? I didn't thought it was that. But he caught me off guard. He said, will you do me a favor? I said, yeah, man. Yeah, Brother Nick. And he's there with Nick Griffith. I said, yeah. He said, will you lead the Bible study tonight for me? Man, I tell you. But he said, I tell you no lie. A fear come over me like, man, you're going to, you know, like my knees want to buckle. I said, yes, I do. But as soon as I got in there and I started teaching, the Holy Spirit, I never felt it like that before. Just came over me. It came over me and I started flowing like if I was teaching for the longest time. For the longest time. Because I was available. And I said to the Lord, yes. Today I'm saying all this because if you available and you're saying yes to the Lord today for salvation, the Lord will enter your heart. Listen to me. He will enter your heart right now where you are. And he will save you. If you hear his voice calling you now to salvation and you allow him to enter in, he'll come in. See, the Bible says, don't harden your heart as in the day of provocation. You hear him calling you now. Say, Lord Jesus, say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I believe what your word says, that, Father, that you send your son, Jesus, to die on a cross, to give his life, so that I would have life and I would have the right to the tree of life, that I could come to the throne of glory and bow down at your feet, worshiping you as my Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. And I come to you a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that you died on Calvary according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. I believe that you died on that cross, that you were buried, and that Father God raised you up on the third day. I believe this. And I'm confessing it now before God and before man. Jesus, I am asking you now, come into my heart and deliver my soul from the pit of hell. If you said that simple prayer out of your mouth and you believe it, you have just received the gift of salvation. It don't have to be a lot. You got to believe that Jesus died for you. You got to believe that he rose again from the dead. You got to believe this. You got to confess it. And now you got to start walking it. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start studying it. And the book of Acts. We did a couple of scriptures from Acts today. Study the word of God. It is the word of God that's going to draw you closer. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was of God, and the word was God. So, you want to study this word. The word was with God, and the word was God. So, once you study this word, you're going to realize that you begin to grow closer and closer to God. Because he draws us. He draws us. The Bible says, no one come to him except he draw you. He draws us to him by the word. The more you study it, the more you want to get more. Hallelujah. So call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, and tell them that you receive the gift of salvation. You're studying your word, and you want to be baptized. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your coworkers, and even your enemies. Somebody said, well, why you always say the enemy? Because you want them to know that you no longer walk in the way you used to walk before. The enemy know you was part of the world. You was doing living the worldly lifestyle. They're going to attack you. People call me, and I tell them straight up, I don't live that life anymore. I'm not perfect, but I don't live the life that I used to live. And then you're going to get baptized. You're going down what we call it, the liquid grave. You're going in the liquid grave. Hallelujah, glory to God. And you're leaving all the things that held you in bondage in that grave. But when you come about that grave, you're coming up in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, of God and through Christ Jesus. So get your church, find a church that's preaching, teaching the gospel. Get yourself involved in ministry. You may say, well, how can I get involved in ministry? I'm not a preacher. Well, ministry is when you're doing everything unto God. You understand? If you clean up the church, you sweep around the church building, that's ministry. If you pick up the trash from around the church, that's ministry. You clean the bathroom, that's ministry. If you stay at the door and you'll be an usher, that's ministry. You don't have to be the preacher. He's already a preacher in the church. It takes a lot of parts of the body to fulfill the ministry. You know, people think that they can only be in ministry if they're the preacher. If the preacher let you preach one Sunday or Saturday or midweek service, you should say, I'm happy the pastor allowed me to preach. You should say, I'm happy. Because he the pastor, she the pastor. They don't think they're in ministry unless they're on the pulpit and they got the microphone in your hand. You know. God bless you all that receive the gift of salvation. And find a church that's preaching, teaching the gospel, and get yourself involved in ministry. The line is now open. The line is now open. I am finished. Thank God.
Praise the Lord, Apostle.
Praise the Lord, Evangelist Brown.
How you doing?
Well, I can't complain. I'm not
happy
gonna complain.
Birthday.
I'm doing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm doing well in the Lord. You know,
that's
I'm doing
good.
Well.
Your
I can't
family's
complain.
Doing good.
Everybody doing good. I can't complain.
That's good. Yeah.
I just got a message on my phone, so I'm trying to pull it up now while you're talking. From what's your name? From Tina, so I don't know what it's saying yet. She just sent me another message. I'm getting ready to put it up now, see what she's saying. But everything looks like it's going down soon, very soon. Regardless if you want it or not.
I'm going to do what he's saying before I say anything, honey.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks good, huh?
Regardless of what we think about, a lot of people are going to hurt because of it, but this is where the Lord is sending this thing now. Now, she said, today, 23rd October, the TNT calls stated everyone just waiting for to go. Everybody's waiting now because everything is ready. Everything is ready.
And they're just waiting for the go. They're all go signed.
I ain't said anything's ready. There you go.
So that's what she's telling me now. She says, we're expecting for this past weekend, God rate shown on bank screens, just waiting for the go. U.S. says anytime with Iraq citizens being told Wednesday. That's what they're saying. So you just got to wait. God wait. That's what she just sent me. She just sent me that. Just come through on my phone. So we just got to wait. It's God's timing. It's God's timing, not man's timing.
That's right.
We got to wait for it. Got to wait for God's timing. But they're saying that what the lady said last night, I listened to the program last night, said that they said that there's going to be a heavy change that's going to take place within the next 2 or 3 months. And it's going to including the money moving towards the people that it's supposed to get to. So we're looking for it any time. Could be any day. Could be any day. So, but thank God for you all. I think I hear Pastor Brown. Thank you for that message. Just sent me the other day. I just got it the other day. So thank God. Day for yesterday.
Yeah, it's a blessing. It's to be alive to see another day. And as you said, people, I think I heard you said that when you say that people confess to be saved and they go home, and they beat up their wives or they fuss at their wives and they smile, that's not the spirit God given us when people are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not God's spirit. They're out of pocket. They're not really walking the walk and doing the talk or saying it's God. That's because God don't have his people. I'm talking about Holy Ghost set apart people to come home after you preach and beat up your wife. The apostle, you know that's not of God.
And that's people right. Try to, that's right.
People try to make like, okay, we all ain't perfect. People are always trying to justify it. When you're wrong, you're wrong. And people are looking, the sinners looking at us each and every day. The only book they're going to read is us. And they see people acting unseemly. They say, why should I go to church? You know what they say, Pastor, why should I go to church? The pastor beats up the wife, the pastor's running around. You know, and then they classify everybody. They classify all the Christians.
That's true.
It is. It's true. They classify all the Christians. I don't want to hear what you guys say because my pastor did it. Listen, holiness or hell. Holiness without no man shall boy or girl shall see the Lord. You can't base what this pastor's doing over here or this saint ain't doing because they don't have the Holy Ghost part. So, come on.
That's
you've been
right.
In the world and I've been in. You've been in the world and I've been on the world. We did some things. We did a whole lot of things. But when you come on God's side, he clean you up for his glory. It's a process. People
that's
use
right,
that for excuse.
Right.
They use it for excuse, Apostle. You ain't
that's
taking
right.
Crack cocaine no more. I mean, I'm not dropping
hey,
it. Like, I'm
you
not, I'm
know
not,
that's right.
I'm not going
that's
out
right.
Here going to clubs. We're not doing that. We'd exchange partners. We're still dancing, but we're dancing in spirit. We don't need no cocaine or no marijuana or all this stuff to make you feel good on a good day. We feel good every day because we got the power of the Holy Ghost to live inside
hallelujah.
Of us. And he leads and he guides us to all. He leads and guides us to all truth. So people are lying. That's why I look at them. We just saw a young man out here the other day begging. He's 23 years old. My husband ministered to him. And he's telling him some good things. You know, he's a young man. You know, you can get... You know, get in church. I mean, see, people don't want to hear that. They just want you to shell out their money. But we have to give them the word.
Give them the word.
You know, we have to give them the word to let them know that you're young men. You don't have to live like this. You know, you don't have to do this. We all were young. We all made mistakes. But it's time to come in. You know, this Israel, like you said, Israel and all this stuff, that 9/11, was prophesied, 9/11. A lot more stuff is coming through here. The Lord sees all possible, you know that. He's looking for the real people. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive the sin and heal the land. The land is sick. Every time you turn around, there's something going on. I know there's stuff going in Boston, there's stuff in Georgia, there's bridges are collapsing. You know, it's all kinds of stuff. God is trying to shake up the saints so they can get ready to go back with them. But if you dipping and skipping and tipping, like you said, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss eternal life.
That's right. That's right.
I come too far to miss you. I'm not missing nothing. People can serve the devil all they want. I've had my days of serving him. He gets nothing out of me. Like
yes.
You said, shut up, devil. So
right.
I'm
don't
just thanking
up.
God
that
he left us the apostles. A lot of people that make your age apostles. A lot of people that make my age.
That's right.
People are leaving here. They're leaving by the droves, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're not even don't have a chance. The cemeteries are loaded. And you already know that. They're running out of space for putting those caskets in there. But we so ignorant. We the black people, we don't always just want to fight one another, Apostle. We should be fighting the enemy, not one another. We
That's
should be
right.
fighting that
That's
devil.
Right.
Then come in and take over your household, take over your children. Not over here, not in this house. Me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. Forget that. God has been too, like I said, He's been too good, and He's too good, and He's blessing us. But what He's getting ready to do for us, Apostle, is gonna blow the minds of people. Like you said, you ain't telling them nothing. People said they're throwing away their notes. Them throw them away. I ain't throwing away nothing. Mine's right back in the Bible.
Send them to me. Tell them, send them to me. If they don't want to give them to you, tell them, send them to me. I got all the
I
time.
I sure will.
I'm waiting on it.
That's true. But I thank the Lord for what you said today. People just need to step up to the plate. Pastor, time is running out. I look at all this stuff. Time is winding up and it's running out. And we, the people of God, that got families, we got to let them know whether they like it or not. The truth is the truth. The wages of sin is still death. It's still in there, the gift of God's eternal life. So you can get mad at me, mad at the God in me, but I'm going to heaven regardless. But if God, like I said, if God tells you to give a word to your family members or whatever or outside your house, we have to obey God rather than man. I made up my mind.
That's
for God
right.
I live and for God I die. If you don't want to speak to me no more, that's on you. I'm going to heaven regardless what it looks like because I have to answer to him. I don't have to answer to nobody but God. Every knee's going to bow, Apostle. We ain't got to answer to these men and these girls and these boys. People are doing so much stupid stuff. It's so ridiculous. It's so sad. The higher power, they don't believe in the Lord. Then who you believing in, Lucifer? All he's doing is making you miserable, jump off the bridge, commit suicide. The devil got people's minds so bogged down, Apostle. I look at the young people. They ain't got no kind of motivation down this side of town. I know you probably got some in Boston, too. But it's so sad that they don't want to come in and serve the Lord. Or they got to get killed. They got to get stabbed. And when they still get stabbed, some of them still don't want to get saved. The prison walls are, I mean, all this stuff that you hear, the prison, they took the prayer out of school. And people, and the people of God, God is trying to shake the people of God up to let them know, you're going to stay on the straight and narrow path. Because the road of destruction is falling down. And the only way that we're going to make is we stay focused on God. I ain't let nobody steal my joy. Apostle, I made up my mind. I'm going to stay focused. My husband preached about use what you got. People ain't using what you got because what they got, they're losing. We're going to lose the battle if we don't keep our eye on Christ. We're going to lose it, Apostle. The people of God that run around here singing and shouting and skipping and tipping and speaking in tongues, they're going to lose the battle because the devil is throwing something at them and they're listening to him. To the anointing he wants. He wants to snatch your anointing. After all that you've been through, you want the devil to snatch your anointing? Uh-uh. They say, not me. I'm not going out that way. So I thank you, man of God, for sending such a word that it feeds your soul. When you get up and when you can get up and move around in your house and see everything that you left it was well, and you wake up the next day, it's a blessing. My friend just lost her husband. He just lost his wife. 55 years old. She had breast cancer. She just got buried a couple weeks ago.
He's 55 years old.
She's gone. 55 years old.
He's still a young woman.
Yep, and they got married in 2019. He didn't even enjoy her that much. This is 23. And so people now she's going to be missing from that table.
I'm praising God, Bazis. I'm praising God. I was just telling the minister, I said, look, I just turned 74 years old. Ain't got no pain in my body.
I know, 74.
No pain in my body. And I'm praising God. I'm praising God. Mm-hmm. No pain in my body.
Amen.
No pain. No pain in my body.
No pain.
I'm praising
God.
I had to post on Facebook. Yeah, that's a look. I ain't celebrating no birthday. I celebrate my time with God. I said, but there's many people, even reading my post right now, that's not going to live to see 50. I'm 74 years old.
I know it.
And riding high in the Lord. Riding high in the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm high in the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
High in the Lord.
Yep. That's right, because you're taking care of yourself and God's taking care of you. Some of these people, some of these young people,
right.
they look older. They look old. They go over the hill 60 when they're only 25. They look terrible out in the streets.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The devil's wearing them out, whacking them out, and they don't know what to do. I'm telling you, the way is to go with Jesus, son.
That's right. There's no other way.
You're going to make
it. No other way.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. I was just praising God. I tell you, he's so good to us. Prophet God is so good and awesome. He's an awesome God. And no matter what you do, you can go back to him, repent. He takes you, come unto me. All he lives. People are so ignorant. They want to fight one another. Hallelujah.
Ooh,
I'm thanking God for
you. Girl, that's it right there. No matter what you do. My God, if you got an hour, just a minute, just repent. He'll take you right back home. My God, that's a preach word
my
right there.
God.
That's a preach word right there. Jesus.
Take you back home. Clean you up for his glory, and you have a story. You don't look like what you've been through, Pastor. Good God Almighty. You don't look like what you've been through. Because some of these people don't realize it's with the grace of God. There go I. Oh, my God, this is almost 2024, Apostle. The years are going by.
Yes.
2000.
Right around
you remember when 2000 this came in? Right around the corner. 2000, like you said. Some folks don't realize. Years are gone. Look at the church is going on with you or without you.
Better believe it.
And you ain't stopping nothing because God's going to get his work done. You don't have to do it. He'll just move you out the way
to
do it. It's going to be
done. That's right.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just happy to know that we're still on the land of the living and not 6 feet under. Hallelujah.
Yes,
where we
Lord.
Could have been and where
yes,
we should
Lord.
Have been. He gave us a chance, another chance at life. I get excited, Apostle, just to know.
Yes.
If it wasn't for the Lord on my side or on our side, Apostle, we wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't know Apostle David Callender. You wouldn't know Carol Brown. Oh, my God. And people don't want to serve him. You don't want to serve him, then that's your business. I'm going to serve him.
That's right.
The devil's a liar. Like Deacon Fader said, the devil's a liar and the truth ain't in him.
That's right. Yeah. Praise him all by myself.
That's right. Praise him all by yourself. But God is good. And I'm glad he spared you to see another birthday. I hope he spared you to see many, 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 many more. On this side, because we got a beginning and we got an ending. God knows we got a birth date and we got a death date. He knows. He knows the way we take. He knows, Apostle. He knows his children. My God. He knows the ones that are faithfully his. When people talk about, you worry about this? I ain't worrying about nothing. He said, told me to cast your care upon him for the care for thee. I'm not being stressed out.
That's right.
For what?
Not for anything. My God. I ain't stressed out for nothing. And God told me he's fixing everything for me already. It's already fixed.
See?
It's not going to get
already
fixed. God already fixed.
My God.
Already fixed.
Hallelujah.
All I got to do is wait. God says already fixed, man. You're going to have
already
more
fixed.
Than you need. I'm telling you something. You're
I know
have,
it. More than you need.
Advantage, you're going to have more than you need. I'm telling you, all that.
Yes, Lord.
More than you need. Yes, be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's
be
right.
patient. I'm telling you, you're going to pay off everything, and you're going to buy some more. Yeah, you're going to pay off everything, you're going to buy some money. I'm telling you something. Over to God. You're going to buy some money. You're going to help a lot of people because you're going to have more than enough. He said, well, God says, you're going to have more than enough.
Thank you, Lord.
And he says, I come that you will have life and have life more abundantly. That means more than enough. Not just enough. Abundantly means more than enough. I said, Lord Jesus, I've just waited. I love preaching there, and I see my phone beep on me. I said, Lord, let me look at my phone. And I see, Sheila, I said, Lord, this is my spirit jump. I said, Lord, is this it? You know, And she tell me, look, it's going to be any day. She said, just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. Because mm-hmm. they're saying, Iran's saying, no, it's going to be any day. Because everything is mm-hmm. happening through Iran. He said, mm-hmm. it could be any day.
Mm-hmm.
I keep my phone fully charged. Fully charged.
Amen. I know that's right. Thank
any
you, Lord.
Any day.
Thank
any
you,
day.
Yes, Lord. Any day.
And I'm looking for it in that. I'm looking for it in 2 months. That's what I'm looking for. But they say any day. Because
any day.
From according to what the accountant says, they say that they're going to this digital money. And this thing has to be delivered, has to be released. See, I listen to a lot of stuff at night. Because I go on my computer. They're switching to digital money. All the dollars, $100 bills, all that stuff is going to be gone. Okay? All is going to be gone. No more paper money.
No more paper money.
All you're going to be able to do is, no more paper money. All you're going to be able to do is, you're going to be able to use your credit card and your debit card. Unless
no more paper
whoever
money.
Become president. No, unless
wow.
whoever become president decides to switch back. Okay? But Biden already signed the bill for digital money. You know, a lot of people
digital money.
In the church, people in the church, and they're sleeping. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what time of day it is.
I know that's
to,
right.
You have to go in and look at the news. They don't know what time of day it is. And a lot of people are going to get caught off guard when they switch. They say within the next 2 months, it's going to be full-blown digital money. Your paper
digital
money is
money.
Not going to have any value.
No value.
Okay.
Look at God.
They're calling back. They're calling
debit
back
card,
the money.
Huh?
They're going to give you a time. That's what the lady said last night. They said the government going to give you a limited time to return your money to the bank. Okay? They're going to give you a card for all the money that you put in. If your bank account have $50,000, $20,000, $10,000, $100, they can give you a card that says $100. Okay? Or be on your chip or on your debit card. But all the money going to have to go back. And if you people that say they want to hold on, they got some cash, they got safe at their house full of money and they don't want to cash it in, the money going to become worthless.
Wow.
If they don't turn it in to the time, it's going to become worthless. Mm. This woman knows everything. She knows everything. She wrote several books, and she talked about different things that happened in the United States. She predicted stuff. And she said last night, she said, it's already done. Said President Biden signed the paper. He says, and you all that going to get, she says, I sent out the post of people last night. She says, you all that waiting for the money from the reset. He said, it's happening. Nobody can stop it. He said, the reset
wow.
is happening. And the people that, like Bill Gates and all them folk, they're going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars on this reset. He says, so a lot of people that got the vouchers, you're going to cash your vote in. You just be patient. He said, if it don't happen right now, it can't go past 2 months. He says, he says, the latest she gives it is February. That's what she says, February. That's the latest she said, but it should happen before then. Because the digital money going to come on before then. Everything is in works. There's already, Biden already signed the bill for digital money.
So you have to use anything on a debit card?
Everything going to be your debit card, or you have a card from your bank, which is your debit card.
From the bank.
So if you got you got your account, you got to have no cash, you're going to have no checks. Everything going to be from the card. Everything is digital.
Wow. So you don't have no more dollars in your pocketbook, huh?
Nope. Then she said something last night that really messed me up. She said that they're gonna give you an injection and put some modified thing inside your body that's going to be in your blood. It's going to become AI. Artificial. I said to myself, I'm not taking no injection. But it's going to come up schematically. It's like a diagram going to come up on your index finger. So when you put your index finger on the money, like the we call it ATM, this thing will come upon your finger like a diagram. It's going to be like a schematic on your tip of your finger. And the computer going to see that. They're going to know that it's you. Okay? They have your, that thing that they put in your blood have your social security number. I see these people are crazy. What? They have all yours, all your information in it. They're going to put it in your blood in a pure injection. I said, wow.
Jesus.
And she said, they want to control everything that you do. That's what they're doing. She said, this woman, she spoke for about 2 hours. And she got all the papers. She said, I got the notes to prove this. She was talking to this guy, another Caucasian guy. She says, I got the paper. He said, how do you got it? He said, look, I got connections in the government. And she said, I got connections in the government. And I got all this information. But I want the people to know. She said, so many people are sleeping and don't know what's going on in America. But they're going to be surprised. Now, they don't believe it, but they're going to surprise.
Yeah, well, they said, when they're talking about their chips, that time of them. Yeah.
I ain't taking no sticking no more from her, but I took that one stick and I can't get the pain up my shoulder. I know. I have to pray that pain out of my shoulder. So. I ain't taking no more stuff. They're not putting no AI, nothing inside of me. No dyes. They're not putting no dye in my body.
I know. That's right. Yeah, this stuff is something
that
else.
We trust in God. That we trust in God and waiting on God for his, for the final
that's right.
word. We're going to be able to go there. I even look at my land today, piece of land that I'm going to buy. And that's signed me on that land for a long time. It's a good piece of land, too. And I put a good few houses on the land. And I told my granddaughter I'm going to buy that land. So I swing by there today and I told her, you know, that land been vacant for a long time. Nobody ain't buy that land. And God really wanted me to have that land. I told I want the land. I'm going to put some houses on there for the vets. These homeless homeless vets. Now, I can't buy for all the vets, but I know I can build some houses for some of these vets that we have in my neighborhood, sleeping on the street. You know, because you get that much money. You can't run around pushing your chest up, driving around in a road rush and that foolishness, man. Help the poor. That's why God is giving us that money.
That's right.
He's giving us that money to help the poor. Not for us to get a Rolls Royce and a Bentley and run around, push your chest up and all that stuff. No.
That's
right. Work for the kingdom. God wants you to more than enough so that you live the rest of your life at comfort. But at the same
time,
you're helping other people to live, be comfortable too, you know?
That's right.
Yep. So I'm just waiting for it. Just waiting.
Oh, thank the Lord for you. Thank God for that. God is good. We just got to wait because the best is yet to come. I believe that. But thank the Lord for those encouraging words that you spoke today. And we just pray, and wait on God's manifestation because it's coming. I tell my husband, it's coming, watch. It's coming. So I just thank the Lord. How's Apostle Washington doing?
I don't know. I haven't talked to her in lunch.
Okay.
You know, she has her own ministry and she's doing well as far as I know.
Oh, she's doing her ministry line?
Yeah, she got her ministry line.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to get up there a couple of times and I couldn't get on. Cause I know they're an hour behind.
Every Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay, so cause they're an hour behind us, right?
Yeah, they're behind us, before us.
Okay. Yeah, so thank you.
Every Tuesday, I thought you had Deacon, cause I believe Deacon is on there too.
Okay. Yeah, because when I tried to get on there, they'd be off. It said the host hasn't came to the line. So I don't know. I'm just going to get on there.
He goes on at 8:30 p.m. Yeah,
and our time would be 9, right?
Our time would be 9:30.
9:30, see. Okay, now I know. Okay. Yeah. Thank the Lord. I tell you, God is great. praise our God.
It's doing good, yeah, you know. What's your name? I think you know him, though, Pastor Robert DeRusa.
You said that. I probably know him by face.
Yeah, his church was, what's the name of the church now again? Let's see, because you might know. Let me see, I got it on my computer. Send me a thing. He's a tall, light-skinned guy, because you saw him at at Bishop Wright Church. You saw him.
I did?
Yeah, he came over there when I preached once. A lot of us preached once.
Okay.
He's a Greater Light Temple of Christ Church.
Oh, okay.
He used to be in a storefront church right up there on Dorchester Avenue. I think it's across from the library, the church, storefront church.
Okay.
But he got a nice church over here, about 3 minutes from me, 3 or 4 minutes from me.
Mm.
Nice church. I know. Very, very nice. He invited me over there,
praise,
man. He said, Pastor, I just want to share with the Lord. Bless him. He said, I didn't have to put up no money. I said, this is what God was doing. He got keyboards, drums, all of these cameras. Man, they must have got about 7 or 8 cameras inside there. I mean, however you go, it's recording, you know, and all the nice podium where he preached behind, nice oak podium, a nice one. You know, and he said that the lady gave that to him. I mean, she said he gave him everything. So all he had to do now is put the name of the church on the bit on the big plaque he got up front. Because he got a big bowl in front, 2 billboards in front of the church. All he got to put the name of the church up. But it's very nice, and they're nice carpet. And everything is nice. All the speakers is nice. So he does Zoom. Told me he does Zoom on Sunday, but he wants to rent out the church on the evening. You know, because got a lot of members, but there a lot of them on Zoom. You know, I guess they don't want to leave Dorchester and come to school. You know, there's a lot of them on Zoom. So, you know, he got a beautiful church. The people coming here, so what? He wants to tell me. If I know anybody want to rent the church in the evening, I said, man, put the thing on, because you got a lot of people around here that want to rent for a few hours, you know. And I said, put it on the internet, you know, you'll get somebody come and rent it because it's nice. They don't have to bring nothing. All they do is bring their members, you know what I'm saying? He got very nice system in there, nice PA system. Microphones, keyboards, drums, everything. You know, got the screen, the television screens and stuff that they can go on Zoom, and they got the screens inside there. So he'll get somebody to come and rent the evening to help. You know.
I know that's good. That's awesome. You get somebody coming in. How's Pastor Vic's church coming along? Huh?
Pastor Vic's church? I don't know.
You said you don't know?
I had to talk to you about that a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, because I know she put on there and said she's looking for organ. She's looking for an organ player or something on Sunday or something. I saw it on the page.
She's back in, she's pretty much back in Boston.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
That's good.
I'll call you and talk to you.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I don't know the line open. If anybody want to talk, then anybody want to say something. If not, we're going to ask Evangelist Brown to close us out. We've got other people on the line, but nobody say anything. All right. Evangelist, go ahead and pray and close us out, please.
Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you today, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Calendar. Thank you for all those who are on the line and didn't have nothing to say. Lord, long as we got a mouth, we ought to be praising you, oh God. Long as we have eyes, we ought to be telling somebody about Jesus, because somebody got eyes and can't see. They can't see spiritually or they can't see physically. But we got eyes physically, and we need to see what you're saying and where you're telling us how to direct our steps and our speech. Lord, thank you for Sister Nancy Calendar. Thank you, Lord, for Shema. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for his son. Thank you, Lord, for his daughter-in-law and his granddaughter. We all thank you for his mother-in-law, God. We just thank you for all the people that don't even know
what
it really means to us to serve you in spirit and in truth, oh God. We just thank you, God, for giving us another opportunity to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We had 1,000 tongues. You couldn't thank you for nothing. Thank you for Pastor Washington. Thank you for her husband. Thank you for her ministry. Continue to bless. God, open up the doors. Thank you for Pastor Stewart. Thank you, Lord, for Joy Stewart. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Deacon Frazier. Thank you for his mother. I know he lost his dad. We ask you to bless him and fill that void, God, in Jesus' name. Ask you, oh God, to look upon the Brown family, oh God. Ask you to look upon my family in a special way, oh God. Keep them covered in your blood. Lord, we just thank you, oh God. Thank you for Pastor Brown. Continue to bless the Father, Church of Christ. Bless all marriages, oh God. Let them know
that
if you don't fix it, it won't be done. Marriage is honorable and it better than defiled. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for my niece getting married because you know that we witnessed to her. Marriage is honorable. She's young, 34 years old. Her husband is in his 30s. They got a new baby, God. Let him be that man to take control of that house, oh God, putting you first. Put God first and anything else will fall in line. Keep him out and it's going to be chaotic. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we found out a valuable lesson that we can't make it without you, but we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens our life. Thank you for Minister Andura. God, I haven't heard from her. I pray all is well with her. Thank you for Pastor Grant. I pray all is well with her. Brenda Sheila, I pray all is well with her. And all those that were on this line. Pastor Campbell, God, touch her in a special way. Lord, we just love you and we praise you, oh God. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. Oh, God, we can't find a friend like Jesus. No, not one. Well, God, you just have to keep us through this day, oh, God. Thank you, Lord, for a bright day. Thank you for a blessed day. Thank you for a mighty day. Thank you for a glorious day. Thank you, Lord, just for keeping us alive one more time in the land of the living. Whoa, God, my God, my God. Somebody's laying in a hospital who can't even turn their head. Somebody can't even turn over, God. Some in wheelchairs, God, but you blessed us to see another day. Oh, God, I ask you to keep us, oh, God, with your loving kindness. Wrap your arms all around us, oh, God. Bless our going and our coming, oh, God. Have your way in our lives that we may be an instrument, that we may be that light that sinner man or that sinner girl can see, oh, God, knowing that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. Here it is, October. It's almost the end of October, oh, God. But we just thank you, Lord, for each day that we see, each breath that we take it because you allowed us to take it, oh, God. Without you, oh, Lord, we'd be lost. We're like a ship without a sail. So, God, cover us in your blood, in your mercy. God, don't let no hurt harm or danger come upon us, oh, God. Keep us from seen and unseen danger as we go out each and every day. Put a hedge of protection all around us. Even as we drive in our vehicles, God, bless our going and our coming and bring us back safe to our homes. Oh, God, even as we go out to the stores, you got people out doing all kinds of things, got guns and knives and stabbing children. This young lady down here killed her six-year-old child. Now she's behind bars, oh, God. Lady got shot this morning, 57 years old. She had a two-month-old baby in her arm. The baby's okay, but the grandmother didn't make it. She got shot. Somebody shot her house up at random. Oh, God, have mercy upon that family, oh, God. Oh, my God, have mercy, oh, God. And it was children in that house when the bullets were flying, but she protected that two-month-old baby. They rushed her to the hospital. She didn't make it, but the rest of the children did. Ah, my, have mercy today, God. Bullets are flying from the right and left. They don't care. They don't care. These young people don't care who they kill. Then the grandfather, he got killed by his grandson. My God, touch that family tonight, oh, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, there's so much violence in the land. Ah, God, we just ask you to have mercy today. Keep us, oh, God, that we may have an humble spirit, oh, God. Bless us and keep us, oh, God, that we may wake up with a right mind, not an evil mind, but do and want to help somebody along the way that I live in. Our praying and our preaching won't be in vain today, oh, God, that we may stand up for you, oh, God, knowing that you got the last say in the matter. We just thank you for this beautiful Tuesday. We ask you to bless us until we meet again. We declare nothing but miracles. Don't forget Sister Tina, God. Touch her and her brother, God.
Yeah.
Continue to bless her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. She's been on this trail for a long time. Ah, she's been there. She ain't giving up, oh, God. I thank you for her, God. I thank you for her, God. I ask you, wherever she's at right now, touch her in a special manner way, knowing that everything is going to be all right. Don't forget Evangelist Matt. Touch her, God. I haven't heard a word from her. Touch her, God. Touch her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Ah, don't forget Edwin Hainsworth. He lost his sight. Touch him, oh, God. He's in Boston, oh, God. Have mercy today, God. We're just praying for the people that we know that needs prayer. Oh, God, bring family members together closer. Draw them closer together, not because it's Thanksgiving, but draw the family members closer together day by day and hour by hour, God. Bring us closer together. We may not agree with everything, but at the end of the day, we need to love one another as Christ loved the church. Oh, God, give us that agape love, God. That's what we need, oh, God. Not a bunch of confusion, oh, God. Bless our son-in-laws. Bless the Officer Rogers that goes out each and every day out in the streets of Georgia. Put a protection around him. Oh, God, bless my son-in-law that works night shift, oh, God. Bless myself. Bless Travis that they may find that home that they need down here, oh, God, that they get out their house before the new year, oh, God, because the house that they're living is not fit to live in. It's falling apart, God. Show them the way. Show them the right house they need to buy, oh, God. Touch her as she has successful hip operation. She needs to get a hip replacement, God. I ask you, oh, God, to bring her through that successful operation when she goes have it to the first of the year. Oh, God, bless DC. Bless her, the manager of labor and delivery. Whoa, God, just continue to bless her. Keep them, oh, God. My God, my God, my God, my God. Bless my other grandson that's in the army, oh, God. Ah, he's going to be deported,
Hallelujah.
Oh, God. Ah, he's going for a whole year. He's going to be gone a whole year after December. You won't see him for a whole year. I ask you to put a loving arms around him, protect him, that you may bring him back to his family safe, oh, God, in Jesus' name. DJ, oh, God, he got two children, oh, God, down here. Oh, God, have mercy, oh, Lord. We're just thanking you, Lord, and we're praising you. We just love you, Lord. We can't love you enough. We can't thank you enough, oh, God. Bless the truck drivers all over this country, oh, God. Touch them one by one, name by name. Bless the ones that are on the line. They're going through something today, God. Let them know we're lifting them up. We're lifting them up. We're lifting them up. We're lifting them up. In the name of Jesus, have your way, oh, God. Don't forget Kathleen Baker, Deacon Baker. God, don't forget them, oh, God, in Jesus' name. Don't forget them, oh, God. Use them in a special way, oh, God. Oh, God, let them know that we're praying. We may not see everybody every day, but we sure can lift them up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Keep us with the right mind and the right spirit to want to live right. If we live right, we'll die right, huh? We'll rise again, oh, God, to be absent
Hallelujah.
From the bodies, to be present with the Lord. So we give your name glory, and we give your name praise. We declare everything we ask you is done. It's a done deal. Everything we pray for is done. Hallelujah. More than enough, oh, God. More than enough, oh, God.
Hallelujah.
More than enough that we may help somebody along the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it said it is so, and so it is. We decree it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless you.
Thank you,
Pastor. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Lord, we just thank you for what you've done, Lord, here, Lord. I pray for everyone today, Lord. Father, even as we leave this line with never your presence, God, we pray, God, that you continue to watch over us. Continue to keep us safe and secure, God. And as we leave this line with never your presence, Lord, we ask that you bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. God, continue to make us a head and not a tail. Set us above and not beneath. Make us the lenders of God and not the board. Father, we thank you for all those that gave and all those that were gave in the ministry. Lord, we ask you, God, to draw people to this ministry, into all of our ministries that are represented here. And draw them, Lord, because no one can come except you, draw them. And you do that, Lord. We continue to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus,
thank you, Lord.
Holy name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Have a blessed evening. I'll talk to you soon. God bless you. God
okay.
Bless you.
God bless you, Pastor. Love you. Okay, love
all
you,
right.
too. God bless.
Okay.